Morning to everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning. All right, I'm going to talk about three things this morning. Firstly, I'm going to concentrate on the epistle to Timothy. So 2 Timothy in your Bible. I don't know if you've got, probably won't have the Bibles from church, but it's page 1095. Hopefully after this, I like to think you're all going to go away and read it. You might not, but I'm hoping you might, right? Okay. Secondly, what is this about? Well, it's about a persecuted Christian, St. Paul, and he's in a dungeon in Rome. It's AD 67. And he knows that this is going to be his last epistle, the last letter, and he's writing to Timothy, who's in Ephesus. And he knows he's not going to get out of this one. He's got out of one or two other imprisonments, but he's not going to get out of this one. And in fact, he is later beheaded. And this is under, at the time, the Roman emperor was Emperor Nero. Now, you've probably heard of him, you know, the fella who fiddled while Rome burned. He then said it was the Christians who'd set the fire going. The man who was responsible for the death of his mother, who kicked one of his wives to death, and who in the end caused a rebellion in Rome, and he was thrown out, at which point he committed suicide. So not a man with the most illustrious record as an emperor. So Paul is at the mercy of this man. And Paul talks about, says in Ephesians 3:1, Paul describes himself as the prisoner of Christ. You think about that, if you're a prisoner of Christ, it means he's tied to Christ. He's in a personal relationship with Christ. And the third thing I want to talk about today is Christianity is about our personal relationships with Christ and with God. And the hymns today are chosen because they are about a personal relationship, that personal relationship. The first hymn is a hymn which recently, there's a book called The History of Christianity. It's about that thick. There was a TV series as well that went with it. And the first page of that book, the historian Dermot McCulloch said that he thought the best example of this relationship between man and God could be found in this hymn, which is My Song is Love Unknown. And it was written by a vicar in Gloucestershire in 1670. That's how old it is. But it demonstrates this relationship. So a man called Samuel Crossman wrote it. And hopefully this is the hymn. Right, going back to Rome and St. Paul. Now, what happened was his first arrest, he was arrested in his house. He didn't know why, probably because he was a Christian. And then his second arrest, he was chained and put in this dungeon. And in 2 Timothy, this is referred to in chapter 4, verse 13. He's chained like a criminal, 1:16 and 2:9 in 2 Timothy. His friends don't know where he is, we're told in 1:17. But Paul knows, despite God saving him in the past, that this is it. And he tells us in chapter 4, verses 6 to 8, he tells us, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness." So this is it. Paul knows this is it. He's not going to get out of this. Now, he had a preliminary hearing. No one spoke up for him. He tells us that in 4:16. It's all there in 2 Timothy. And the trial awaits, but he knows he's going to be executed. Now, most of the so-called friends that he had and his supporters in Rome have found it convenient to disappear. He tells us that in 4, verses 10 and 11. And he's distressed by the actions of his helpers and supporters. Only Luke is with him, 4:11, and somebody called Onesiphorus, who, as he puts it, is not ashamed of my chains. It's in 1:16. And the Lord gave him strength at his first hearing, 4:17, but he's alone, he's desperate, and he's afraid. God is with him, but he wants to see Timothy, who supported him during his earlier imprisonment. I think Ray was talking about that last week when he referred to Philippians, his first arrest. So he wants Timothy to support him and be there and get there to help him. We're now going on to our second hymn. Now, I think we've referred to this is Amazing Grace. Of course, he's referred to John Newton, who was on board ship. I think you've probably heard the story before. and the ship was going to be wrecked. And he prayed to God and he had a conversion at the time. And of course, you then find later he was a slave trader, but he actually gave up doing that. And he was converted. Now, we've got a guest appearance to sing this. Guess who that might be? Who might be singing this? There we go.
To sing. trees than when we first begun.
Let us pray. Holy God, we are in awe of your power and your goodness. Your works are amazing, your love unrelenting. Your glory blazes through our lives. Your mercy surrounds us, your grace astounds us. We worship and adore you. We pray, Lord, for the persecuted Christians everywhere around the world. There are many who are in dungeons and prisons, like Paul is in 2 Timothy. We pray for those, Lord, who are ill and alone and afraid and lonely and uncertain. We pray, Lord, for those afflicted by COVID and their families. We pray, Lord, for those who feel imprisoned, and we want, Lord, we contact people and come to help them the way Paul did in his missionary journeys and his witness. Lord, bless those who love and help and support others. We think of Luke and Onesiphorus in 2 Timothy, who did that and offered that support to Paul. Help us to grow in righteousness and faith. Make us want to be more like you. John Wesley said that it was a gradual process. Be with us on that road and that process. Lord, may we study the Bible and by doing so learn how to flourish and develop as your servant. We pray, Lord, for our families and those near to us, our congregation and our church. Keep us safe at this time, Lord. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Right, just carrying on with the the theme of the service. Who exactly was Timothy anyway? Who is he? Got name on two epistles in the Bible, hasn't he? It's important to know who he is. Well, he was a young 20-year-old protege of Paul's. Born of a mixed marriage of Eunice, who was Jewish, and an unbelieving Greek father. Lived in Lystra in modern, what is now Turkey. Acts 14:8-20 tells us that on Paul's first missionary journey, Paul converted Eunice and Timothy's grandmother, Lois. On the second missionary journey, he notes the spiritual growth of Timothy and adopts him into missionary work. Timothy agrees, even though he has to be circumcised in order to work in the synagogue. We learn that from Acts 16. Timothy was ordained by Paul. Timothy 2:1-6 refers to this, and becomes an evangelist. Paul sends him to Thessalonica and Corinth. During Paul's first imprisonment, he was a great help to Paul. We learn this in Philippians 2:20-22. It says that Timothy has proved himself because as a son with his father, he has served me of the gospel. After Paul is released, he sends Timothy to Ephesus. Despite his youth, he is there to appoint deacons and elders in the church. And he's still there when Paul writes this last epistle to Timothy. Right, our next hymn refers again to relationship. We know there is people are persecuted, Christians are persecuted by the regimes under which they live on earth. But there is a higher throne, a better place that we all wish to go and we're looking to go to. And this song, this hymn refers to this. So it's hymn 1116, There Is a Higher Throne.
Salvation.
going to do three short readings now from 2 Timothy. The first one is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14-19. Keep reminding them of these things. By the way, this is the actual content of the letter now that I'm referring to. So this is what Paul is telling Timothy in the letter, what he wants him to do. Keep reminding them of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who wandered away from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with the inscription, "The Lord knows those who are his," and "Everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness." Moving on to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. Paul's charge to Timothy. "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I have endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived." And 2 Timothy 4, verses 1-5. "In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your minister." Paul writes this letter for three reasons. Firstly, he's lonely. Timothy was with him and helped him in previous occasions. He sees Timothy as like a son with his father. That's in Philippians. He says, in Philippians, "I have no one else like him." Paul wants Timothy there. He says, "Do your best to get here before winter," he says in 4:21. Secondly, Paul's worried about the welfare of the churches during this time and the persecution under Emperor Nero. He tells Timothy to guard the gospel, 1:14. Persevere in it, 3:14. Keep on preaching it, 4:2. And if necessary, suffer for it, 1:8 and 2:3. Paul wants to address the Ephesian church where Timothy is through the letter. There are a number of things he's not happy about, and these are relevant to us today. So what are they? Right, well, the first one is, we were reading about it before, there's a need for sound doctrine. He says, what you heard from me, keep a pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Jesus Christ. Tell it to reliable people. And he's worried about some of the false teaching that's been going on. He's concerned that rather than concentrating upon Christ's teaching, the leaders are focusing upon Jewish myths and genealogies, some ritual teaching that Jesus despised in the Pharisees. 4:4, he says, they will turn their ears away from the truth and aside to myths. False teaching, according to Paul, stresses Moses' law, kosher food, circumcision. It downplays the importance of marriage, that the ritual laws are of the first importance and not the ethical teaching of Christ taught by Paul. He's following Jesus there, isn't he, in that line. And he also teaches that there is nothing, he says that these people have been saying, there's nothing wrong to have money, 3:2. The resurrection or second coming has already occurred. These people have been teaching that. And that destroys the faith of some. He's worried about this false teaching and how it's affecting the newly won Christians. Arminius and Philetus are named, and they have departed from the truth. There's been godless chatter. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. They don't stress the gospel or evangelism. They've upset the house churches. They've upset the faith of many. And it says they worm their way into the homes. And there's a bit of a controversial statement coming up here. Gain control over gullible women who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires. Well, it's the women to blame, isn't it? And we are. They are lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, it says 3:5. They have a form of godliness but deny its power. They pretend to be good and believers but use the Jewish law and practice as their primary, as their priority, sorry, and make Christ's teaching secondary. So, Timothy, sort them out, get them women sorted out, they're causing too much trouble. Anyway, going on. So, what's this sound doctrine he's going on about? Right, well, Christ's teaching is the sound doctrine. He says he has upheld it and Timothy must. He says, Paul is chained like a criminal for teaching that Christ rose from the dead. He's enduring, and as he is, for the sake of the elect, so they may go on to salvation. The second coming and judgment, 4:11, and the entry to heaven for believers, in 4:8. That scripture is sacrosanct. It says in 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Very direct here, isn't he? 2:11, he says, if we walk with God, die for him, endure for him, God never gives up on us. And even if we disown him and are faithless, he still comes to find us. He still brings us back. God's grace, 1:9, it says, he has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. God's grace through Jesus Christ, because Jesus has brought life and immortality to us all. Paul is suffering because he is, quote, a herald, an apostle, and a teacher of this gospel. So, according to Paul, how's Timothy going to do this? Again, in 2 Timothy. Well, first, the Holy Spirit is going to give him power, love, self-discipline. That's 1:7. Guard and teach what I've told you through the Holy Spirit, he tells him. Entrust the word to reliable people who can then teach others. Remember it said, preach the word. Preach the word. Nothing else. Be prepared to suffer and endure like Paul has. Present the truth. Don't quarrel or get involved in foolish and stupid arguments. Be kind to everyone, 2:24. Gently instruct people. Avoid the godly, who are first and foremost lovers of pleasure. Those who go to church, who believe, but really follow pleasure first. And the important thing again, 4:2, preach the word with great patience and careful instruction. Endure even when people refuse to accept the word. So this is patient, gentle instruction. That's how he's telling us to go about spreading the word. So just to finish, Paul goes on after writing this letter. There he is writing it in the dungeon. And afterwards, the due process is followed through and he is beheaded. Timothy must come and redeem the situation in Rome and elsewhere. Missionaries today must face similar persecution from non-believers or believers of other faiths around the world. Teaching which is flawed in that it negates the important teaching of Christ in the gospel. We've got to keep closely to the word and what Jesus taught. And false teaching is a danger. So the lesson for us is, Timothy, we must keep the faith and the gospel in a world full of hate, bad morality, false icons, and of course, at present, the pandemic. Lord, be with us, and may we study our Bibles and keep safe the truth. Paul was writing to the Ephesians. He was writing to Timothy. But he was also writing to us. Our final hymn is hymn 33. This, of course, is Wesley, and he's referring to his own relationship. He talks about chains in this hymn, and can it be?
Thank you.
I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. And Paul was to go on to glory, Timothy, and hopefully all of us have had that situation where we are going on to serve God. And to end with prayer from 2 Corinthians 13:14, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. And the people of the Lord said, Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Frank. Roy's still with us on audio here. Sue, can you unmute?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, Roy's still here. Is it possible to dial in directly into the call?
Yes.
It is. So
yes.
Right. So we need to publicise that.
Phone number.
Yeah. The phone number's on there. You're right. Good to see Michael Pollard with us again. Oh, Michael.
Right. Bye-bye.
Hi, Michael. You're muted. I did promise you a call. I'll give you a call this afternoon.
No, it's okay. I read the Grappinol newsletter this morning.
Sorry?
I was reading the Grappinol newsletter.
Yeah.
And it said the Zoom were alternate weeks.
Oh, that's right. That's a previous one. Yeah.
I got engrossed in that good book called The Bible. So I was late joining, I'm sorry.
As an alternative to our newsletter.
Oh, I enjoyed the newsletter as well, don't worry about that. But yeah, so
just
that's why I'm second. Late, I apologise.
Don't go anywhere.
Just hang on a minute, our phone's ringing.